It's the longest-running daily radio broadcast in the United States. He is a multi-award-winning talk show host, documentary filmmaker, journalist, and author. This is your source for bold discussions, provocative interviews, and controversial commentaries. The one place for true progressives, The Gary Null Show. And now, live from New York City, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. One thing I'm certain, you're going to learn things today that will empower you, allow you to make more informed choices. And it's my belief some of the information today that I'm going to share you have not heard or read in any other media. My guest in the latter part of our show today is Professor Richard Schwartz. He is president of the Jewish Vegetarians of North America and the Society for Ethical Religious Vegetarians. And he is a unique individual. He's the author of many scholarly articles, including Judaism and Vegetarianism, and a book on the same topic that alters our relationship to our food within the Judeo-Christian traditions. He was also the producer of the award-winning documentary A Sacred Duty, Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal the World. And I filmed him last week as one of our panelists. A wonderful day of filming, I might mention. I had an opportunity to have 60 individuals, the vast majority were either professor or physicians, on three panels for three upcoming specials that I am doing to present to PBS National in the fall, in October, at their National Confab, where they make their selections. I've been successful in having 20 hits on various PBS stations in the last 10 and a half years, and I now have six new ones that we are in the process of completing. These were three. One was on vegetarianism. Also, I have a major new book on vegetarianism, and today I'll select the publisher that's going to bring this out. It's about 900 pages. It will be the definitive work to this point on vegetarianism and veganism. The science behind it, all the evidence to show that whether it's environmental or hygienic or right to life, it's all there, and how to do it. In any case, he was one of the panelists, and he made some of the most articulate statements. So we will be talking with him, and specifically I have gained 18 reasons from Jewish scholars, rabbis, that say why Jews should not be vegetarian. Well, are they right? Or is Professor Schwartz right? Or some combination? I will offer him these, and I will be quoting also from the Old Testament to see what we can learn about this. So that'll be an interesting discussion latter part of our program. Let's go over to my guest who's standing by. He is Professor Richard Schwartz. He is well acknowledged. I gave his background a little earlier. Nice to have you with us today, Richard.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Gary, and I want to commend you for the many, many years that you've been getting out these messages about nutrition and a better environment and so many other issues, and I wish you much continued success.
Thank you. Now, since one thing that is important is that you are a religious scholar, you're also an academic scholar, and you've bridged the two to try to show for those who choose to hear it why there is a biblical basis for vegetarianism that can apply to not only Jews, but also Christians and Muslims as well.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you need to know that a lot of rabbis and religious scholars view it just the opposite. They will cite biblical passages that make reference to meat eating in one form or another. And I would like for you to use the scriptures and use what is relevant about Judaism to challenge these. All right, I'm going to give you their challenge. You tell us why vegetarianism is supported and why they have a legitimate challenge. Genesis 1:26. The Torah teaches that humans are granted dominion over animals, giving us a warrant to treat animals in any way we wish.
Right. Well, the sages regarded that not as a carte blanche to do whatever we want, but as responsible stewardship, and reinforced that view three verses later. You mentioned Genesis 1:26. Well, Genesis 1:29, God's first dietary regimen was strictly vegan, plant-based diet, completely, and all the scholars agreed with that. And by the way, in Genesis chapter 5, people live very long lives. We don't use this as proof because so many things have changed, but certainly we know today many negative health effects due to animal-based diets. Also, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, God took the human into the Garden of Eden to work the land, but also to guard it. So we are to be shomrei adama, guardians of the earth, partners with God in preserving the world.
So number two, the Torah teaches that only people are created in the divine image, meaning that God places far less value on animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it's true. Judaism does not place animals at the same level as people, but it does have very strong teachings on compassion for animals. The Torah has much on that. It's even part of the Ten Commandments, where it says that animals as well as people are to rest on the Sabbath day. Many Torah laws, you can't yoke a strong and weak animal, you can't muzzle an ox while threshing in the field. The book of Psalms indicates that God's compassion is over all of his creatures, and the book of Proverbs indicates that it's a test of righteousness. It says the righteous individual considers the life of his or her animal. Now also, since according to the Torah, human beings are uniquely created in God's image, shouldn't we imitate God's attributes of mercy and compassion? I mean, that is the Jewish view. And we have a choice, but we should make that based on values of compassion and justice and mercy.
One of their arguments is vegetarianism places greater priority on animal rights than on the many problems related to human welfare.
Well, but, you know, there are many reasons other than compassion for animals to be a vegetarian, and unfortunately, animal-based diets are not only harmful, and as you know, it's incredible, 60 billion farmed animals, mostly raised on factory farms, killed worldwide every year, 10 billion in the U.S. alone, but as you especially know, there's many, many harms that animal-based diets and animal-based agriculture have for humans in terms of human health, in terms of the environment. As you know, global warming, and before you were discussing that drought in Texas and the fact that it's going to get hotter and there's going to be more and more droughts, and a UN report in 2006 indicated that actually animal-based agriculture emits more greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide equivalents, than all of the cars, trucks, planes, ships, and all the means of transportation worldwide combined. And unfortunately, that same UN report projects a doubling of the animal population. So a shift toward vegan diets, completely plant-based diets, is not only an important individual choice, it's really a societal imperative to help shift our imperiled planet to a sustainable path.
There is the comment that by putting vegetarian values ahead of Jewish teachings, vegetarians are, in effect, creating a new religion with values contrary to Jewish teachings.
Well, actually, it's just the opposite. We're saying Judaism, other religions, wonderful, all these wonderful teachings about compassion. We're saying, let's put these teachings into practice. I mean, what is the point of having wonderful teachings about compassion for animals, taking care of our health, preserving the environment, helping hungry people, when the average diet of a religious person and just about everybody else is a diet that is so negative? You know, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization reported just a couple of weeks ago or so that the number of chronically hungry people in the world has now passed the 1 billion mark. It's estimated that 20 million human beings every year worldwide are dying of hunger and its effects. And yet, and this is why I think it's a scandal, why I think animal-based diets and agriculture, it's like madness and sheer insanity. With all this hunger, dying of starvation, we are actually in the U.S. feeding over 70% of the grains we produce here to animals raised for slaughter, and it's almost 40% of the grain worldwide. So a lot more has to be done.
On Shabbat and or Yom Toy and the Jewish holidays.
that Jews are supposed to be eating meat and oil. Well, some claim that, but actually there are chief rabbis, including the former chief rabbi of all of Israel, Shlomo Goren, present chief rabbi of Haifa, Rabbi Shai Yashiv Cohen, who are strict vegetarians. So actually it's not necessary. It seems before the destruction of the temple, it was considered to rejoice on the Sabbath and the holidays to have meat and wine, but after that, sages said wine would be sufficient, and it's hard to see how people can really rejoice on a Sabbath or holidays eating meat if they are aware of the very negative health effects, the really incredible devastation of the environment caused by animal-based diets. We're destroying the tropical rainforest, for example, to save a nickel on a fast food hamburger. And, of course, the devastating effect on the environment that we are eating this meat and at a time that would require so much grain to produce the meat, and so many people are starving, etc. So it is not necessary, and people can definitely rejoice, and with a much clearer conscience, with the many, many, as you know, wonderful vegan plant-based foods.
The Torah mandated that Jews that Jews eat korban or sacrifice meats.
Okay, yeah, this is part of the Bible, the sacrifices. But first of all, that was true in the time of the temple. Temple doesn't stand today, no longer true. According to the great Jewish philosopher Maimonides, he said that the sacrifices were a concession to the primitive conditions of the times. In biblical times, that was a common mode of worship, and it was felt if they didn't continue the sacrifices but put conditions on them, that people might have rejected everything. But what happened is the sacrifice had to be kept in one confined place. Certainly human sacrifice, child sacrifice, other cruel practices were eliminated with the hope that people would be weaned off the sacrifices. And as if it fits, the biblical prophets like Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah indicated God's primary concern is not sacrifices, but that people should live lives of compassion and work toward a just, environmentally sustainable society.
Jews historically have had many problems with some animal rights groups, which have often opposed the ritual slaughter and advocated its abolishment.
Right. Well, I am arguing that Jews should be vegetarians, should be animal rights activists, because there's so much in the Torah on this. So it should be based on Jewish values, not what animal groups say, whether they are positive on religion or negative on religion. It's basically these teachings. I indicated much in the Jewish tradition, positive on compassion for animals. In addition, it was a test for leadership.
Hold your thoughts, Professor Emeritus sure. Richard Schwartz, scholar, both religious scholar and a vegetarian scholar, will continue over the internet. You can go to GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com to continue hearing this discussion. For everyone else, we'll see you at 3 o'clock today. Please continue with your thoughts.
Okay, so I was saying that to test for leadership, the greatest Jewish hero, Moses, was considered suitable to lead the Israelites out of Egypt because as a shepherd he showed compassion for animals, the same thing with King David. And it's a test for choosing a spouse because to continue the Jewish religion, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, set up a test, and that was really based on compassion for animals. And Rebekah at the well met that test by not only providing water for Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, but for his 10 very thirsty camels who had just crossed the desert.
Also, and this particularly offends me, but I will share this with you, and I have my own personal comment after yours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen the film Earthlings, which I recommend people rent mm-hmm. or get and watch it, they will see this. The argument given that the restrictions of the ritual slaughter, is it called
Shita? Shita, yeah.
Shita. S-C-H-E-C-H-I-T-A?
S-H-E-C-H-I-T-A.
But it's pronounced Shita.
Shita.
Okay, well, Shita is the ritual slaughter. Mm-hmm. Minimizes the pain to animals in the slaughtering process, and this fulfills Jewish laws on proper treatment of animals. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, first, since you mentioned that wonderful film, and I agree with you, Earthlings, I just want to mention we also have produced a movie, a documentary, and the issues are so important that we're giving them away free, and people can see it on the Internet at the title of the movie, A Sacred Duty, one word, that's the title, sacredduty.com, and it's, or they can contact me at president@jewishbedge.com. And I would be happy to have a complimentary copy of the movie sent out to them. It's on YouTube, etc. Well, in response to your question, a big, big problem today is mass production. Shkita, Jewish ritual slaughter laws, were designed to minimize pain. And I just want to point out that if anybody reads the book Slaughterhouse, a wonderful book by Gail Eisnitz, they'd see that there's a problem with all kinds of slaughter. So I am president of Jewish Vegetarians in North America. We are against all kinds of slaughter, though we're against any one kind, like Shkita being singled out, for example. So it was designed to minimize pain, but today it's a mass production kind of world, and there's absolutely no need for anybody to eat meat today. So the ideal is to go to a plant-based diet, because not only is it great for human health, it is essential for preserving our very much endangered planet, because one of the major contributors to global warming, which is leading the world to an unprecedented catastrophe, is animal-based agriculture, all the methane given off by animals. And over a 20-year period, which is roughly the period where most methane is gone from the atmosphere, the potency of methane is 72 times as great as that of carbon dioxide. So a major shift to plant-based diets is essential. I'm urging everybody listening to this to go to their priest, minister, rabbi, etc., write letters to the paper, and as Gary says, because according to James Hansen of NASA, the expert really in global warming, we may only have a few years before global climate change reaches a tipping point that spins out of control. So this is the essential message. We cannot continue these animal-based diets, and I'm hoping every listener will keep listening to Gary's program with all the wonderful info you're going to get from it, and take to the streets, write letters, speak to the politicians, the media, to religious leaders, etc.
Okay, I have one more question. I'm going to try to squeeze in just two calls for people on this topic. You can call us at 888-873-4643. 888-873-4643. My last question. If Jews do not eat meat, they will be deprived of the opportunity to fulfill many of the mitzvot, and those are the commandments.
Right. Well, actually, they are going to be fulfilling many other positive values of Judaism, like to be compassionate, to take care of our health, to be co-workers with God in preserving the environment, to conserve natural resources, to help hungry people, to seek and pursue peace, and all because animal-based diets use far more resources and therefore make instability, war, violence much more likely. That is why I'm arguing that the slogan of the peace movement and the vegetarian movement should be one and the same. You pardon the little pun, all we're saying is give peas a chance. So, okay. There's many, many more mitzvot that, or commandments that can be kept through plant-based diets, and it's much, much, much more in the spirit of Jewish and other religions' highest values.
Professor Schwartz, we're near the end of our program. Mm-hmm. My next show following this is Deb Wolf's Animal Magnet Pet Radio is next. But if I will take one call, that's all I have time for, if they call quickly at 888-873-4643. If not, give us your email address for people who want more information. I've tried to present some of the most specific comments from people who choose not to be vegetarians in justifying their position. You have given us your position. They have a point. You have a counterpoint. It's for people to decide for themselves now if they want to be a vegetarian or not. I advocate for veganism and try to present the sensible and reasonable and scientific facts why veganism is so essential to the survival of our personal health as well as our planet.
Right.
But again, that I believe in freedom of choice, and I believe that people have to make that decision for themselves. I see that we're running out of time even for any calls, so I won't be able to take those calls. Hope people tune in at 3 o'clock, a very interesting topic then. Thank you very much, Richard Schwartz, Professor Emeritus, also a person who has a background both in being a religious scholar and a vegetarian scholar, for all your good work.
Thank you, and thanks for all the good work you're doing.
I'm Gary Nall. We'll look forward to sharing more information in 2 hours. You can always go to our archives at GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Remember, Progressive Radio Network, the one place where you won't hear condemnations, you won't hear screeds, you won't hear political posturing, you won't hear people on soapbox splattering across the spectrum. Instead, you will hear responsible, reasonable, creative, insightful, controversial, dynamic, but always empowering voices. The one for progressive minds. Have a nice day.